It's been a big month, right?
Yes.
It's been a big month for Running Dog. You've had your micro residencies, you've got a bunch of new feature articles, and you also have an event called Automate Me at Verge Galleries. Can you talk a little bit about what's been going on?
Well, maybe a little too much, I think, for both of us.
It always feels like that.
Well, we just had our first event for the year at Verge Gallery, Automate Me, which is actually running in tandem with an online issue that we will be publishing this week, which will have like a combination of Australian and international writers, which will be really exciting, and also bringing together writers who may be working in tech or code alongside artists and fiction writers. And we actually, for some reason, have a lot of pieces that relate to food in some way. So I don't know. There's something I don't know.
Yeah.
How does this issue differ from what you usually produce on the site?
I think one of the big aims for it was for us to acknowledge that art and writing about art actually happens like in a wider dialogue with talking just about culture more broadly. So the aim is to sort of pick some themes that really touch those kind of cultural and social points in everyone's lives. So that first one is all about automation.
And how have you found the event process as a way of bringing people in a real space as opposed to online?
Yeah, I think, well, because we started our partnership with Verge Gallery for the first time last year, we did 4 events. And part of that was really trying to think about ways that we could have some conversations with our readership in, I want to say in real life, but offline, particularly because if our aim is to not engage with social media in the way that it tries to dictate that we engage with it, so we don't really respond to comments or have a very active online presence, we wanted a way to then have a conversation offline that allowed us to circumnavigate or get outside of those spaces.
And, you know, like speaking of opening up a dialogue, this most recent letter from the editor, I thought it was really interesting. We were just talking about it before. The framework for the beginning of the letter is a list of responses of things that you don't want to discuss. So could you talk a bit about that?
Very sneaky. I think, particularly because February is a short month, this letter came around for me very quickly. And I think there is something a bit, dare I say, exhausting working in that medium on a monthly basis. So this one, I think, particularly because the January letter, I had, I guess, a lot more time to think about what I wanted to say. It was a bit of a struggle, this one, for me. And I think there were a lot of avenues that I went down that I thought of things that I could write about, particularly in terms of funding and the relationship between the government and funding. Just because a lot of stories that came out this month, such as the sports rot scandal for one, which reminded me of an issue with the New South Wales government in terms of arts funding that was redirected without anyone's knowledge who had submitted that grant application. And then also just this announcement by the Judith Nielsen Foundation with the Copyright Agency to donate money to News Corp and Nine to increase arts coverage. And I think it becomes really tricky to talk about funding in a way that doesn't sound like a complaint or speaking to a particular group of people who have that conversation often. And I think particularly in Australia, most arts organisations don't have any money. There's a lot of volunteer work, so it kind of felt unhelpful to continue that conversation.
Definitely. It feels like in the case of funding that arts in Australia is very much trapped between, you know, government funding or then you were saying like private funding in terms of philanthropy.
Yep.
Do you think those sort of pressures to produce can have a stifling effect on creativity for the individual?
Sure. And I think Australia is in a particular, I don't know, U-bend or bottleneck in terms of funding in that the funding is shrinking on the one hand, and then we also have so many artists then choosing to take postgraduate study as a means of getting some alternative funding through the institutions, which then means that a lot of the work that we produce is speaking to a very specific language and way of making art, which is quite institutional. And then that in itself has a flow-on effect of being separated from, I guess, more community-based practice. And all of this, I think, is is completely a result of issues of financial stress. But at the same time, that's where it becomes tricky because everyone in this economy is under a form of financial stress, and it becomes a bit redundant to fall into the trap of constantly complaining about it.
It is interesting, I suppose, to talk about like that kind of academic tone of arts culture, and you do sort of bring that up in the letter as well. I felt very called out.
In the letter.
But you say it as well. It is. We're all guilty. We're dismissive of art that isn't political or sort of speaking to some kind of cerebral theme. And so I think it's actually very clever to dedicate space and thought to a different kind of art, like I suppose like that a more universal kind of art that is much more interested in that like just intrinsic good and the value of, yeah, just drawing and mark making.
From my perspective, when I read it, there's almost this innate pressure to produce that can result in self-criticism and then criticism of people around you. And that's not the intentionality of what it means to actually create things. Mm. And towards the end of the letter, you really draw on that point, saying that the focus should be on creating and the making and the act of the process itself. And I found it really interesting, you just talking about Australia and our current model, because you spent some time last year in New York and you talk about your experience with this particular exhibition called The Pencil is a Key. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think this exhibition in particular, so The Pencil is a Key, was at the Drawing Centre. And I think I saw it maybe 3 days before I left in December. I think it closed in January. And it was drawings by incarcerated artists. But the earliest work was drawn during the French Revolution, and then it went up all the way to the present day. So the most recent work was from 2019 by an artist detained in Turkey for speaking out against the government, who was also a journalist, actually. You know, it was one of those exhibitions that you go to, and I think I had fallen into the trap, which I talk about in the letter, of being a bit critical of what art is and always thinking about that conversation of the relationship between art and politics, and I guess maybe even being a bit hardline in how I dealt with, you know, works that might have been more abstract or were super commercial. And I think this particular exhibition, there was a relationship between all those artists. And I think it really reiterated to me, I don't know, it kind of made me feel a bit silly to even have spent so much time worrying about that demarcation between art and politics, because obviously it was an incredibly political show. It had a huge public program because America is dealing with kind of a crisis of incarceration. So there was a lot of public programs that were working to kind of deal with prison reform and prison abolition. So that kind of gave it its weight, but it was also very much reiterating the value in drawing itself or just of making. And you know, for artists who never expected that work to be shown or shared in any way. And I think that can be very powerful.
I feel like it almost comes back to a question of intentionality, because if you're incarcerated and you're creating these works, there's no other intention behind producing it other than the sake of making. Like, you're not thinking about, oh, maybe this gallery might be putting it on, whereas the system here in Australia is almost like you were saying at the beginning of the letter, that we're chasing grant funding and whether it fits within this rubric or model or this kind of more prescriptive narrative or lens within contemporary art, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. Even in itself, it was contradictory and problematic and confusing because, you know, it on the one hand, these artists are making work, so it kind of celebrates the making, but they're also incarcerated, and particularly, you know, there were works by artists who were in internment camps. There were works by artists who were in concentration camps in Poland in the 1940s. There were many works by artists who had died in prison. So I think there was definitely a tension there about, you know, why they were making and whether they were just making to survive or whether they were documenting or whether even for some artists it was about like bartering. It had a value as a way of, you know, whether that was with the prison guards or with how they engaged. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's also important to think that it's all tangled up together. And I think that's what's really interesting, because we always want to make it cleaner, I guess, or easier. Whereas I think that I'm at the point now that I'm more interested in something that has that unresolved tension. And you know, I feel like many people who saw that exhibition may find it problematic or have issues with it. And that's kind of interesting too. Like, I feel like we are in an age where we dislike confusion and contradictory feelings.
And when it comes to that unresolved tension, this, I guess, is a question for both of you. How would you potentially imagine that within the context of an Australian or a Sydney-based exhibition? Or are you guys trying to do that with the events and work that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because part of that letter, I think, came out of having seen the Cornelia Parker exhibition here at the MCA and having reviewed that the week before, which also, interestingly, drew on prison labour but in a very different way, whereas I felt the agency was completely different. But again, I feel like that was an exhibition that, yes, I thought it was important to critique, but I can still see the incredible value of having to wrestle with that. I don't think that that exhibition shouldn't have been shown. It's more that there's value in critique.
Yeah, completely. And I think that, same as Naomi, like, I don't think I can approach this from any other angle than as someone who does personally just really like to think about and write about art. But it is like you get the most pleasure and satisfaction from things that are a bit curly or tangled up. And I think that that's something that we don't give ourselves a lot of time to do, like just to reflect. And so I think that even just ties quite nicely back into the entire ethos of Running Dog as well.
Totally.
Which is to sort of give that space for that deeper reflection rather than just things being black or white. You know, like, or a simple assessment of like good or bad. Like, I think things can really exist in like a multitude of states with a multitude of interpretations. But it is like, that's something that I think people are really uncomfortable with. But I think, yeah, I would like to see more people like be satisfied with like an unresolved assessment. Yeah.